on the Triple M app and on your radio. This is the Rush Hour, JB and Billy.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coe Tyre on 13 15 52.
Ah, yes, the Capers' number one newsbreaker. Welcome, Purple.
Hello, Jim and Bill. And a little bit going on in the world of AFL, isn't it? Well, we couldn't even get through a second round of return matches without all hell breaking loose yet again.
I play golf on a Monday with a very, very passionate Essendon fan. We got to the first tee, and as he was putting his tee peg down, he said, "I can't believe an act of God's cost us the premiership."
Oh,
I said to him, "Mate, your joints buggered our comp again."
Well, you could easily just say, "F*** Essendon."
Couldn't you, Damo?
Look at Damo.
Look at Pat Bill.
Well, you could, Jim, because fair dinkum. I know it's not their fault, kind of, but every time there's something, Damo.
Do you know what you realise what you just said?
Yeah. Damo. Look at Damo. But honestly, every time it's bloody Essendon.
Where are we at with it, Purple?
Look, it's a mess. It's going to require a change, not just at Essendon, but every club in terms of how the training sessions are structured. There'll be even stricter guidelines on what people can do together on a group. There's going to be a restriction in tackling allowances at training. So all of this obviously impacts on the game itself because we've already seen some scratchy skills, haven't we, in the return games.
Yep,
and rusty is probably the better word to even use, Bill. So this will be an outcome of it. In terms of the Essendon situation, it moves in half-hour blocks, Jim. Yeah. So what we're about to say now could well be very different. But the game against Carlton on the weekend, look, according to the AFL, and as best I can read it, it will go ahead provided Essendon has 22 players to put on the ground and a backup of three players. Right. And if that means that that's all they've got, well, that game will go ahead. But that's why the AFL has been treating it.
Now, the common sense clause that they were hoping would be implemented, by the sound of it, isn't going to be.
Well, again, Essendon has got a different view on that aspect of it. And again, things will change beyond what we're saying right now at this very point in time. And the best case for it is, and the AFL has been arguing heavily all day about this, is for only to be Connor McKenna, who is the person quarantined by the DHHS here in Victoria, the Department of Health and Human Services. And they will be the body that determines exactly what happens from an availability perspective. The AFL is allowed to negotiate behind the scenes and lean on them. And there's wiggle room, Jim, in the definition of close contact. And the AFL likes wiggle room, as we know. It's an allowance, Bill, to use a different definition to someone else that they may have over that. So
this eight they're talking about, which is McKenna, Hooker, Saad,
I wouldn't limit it to those. There could be more than that eight. Yeah.
But the eight they're talking about, that's the indoor training weight session group?
And there's also a meeting around this issue too and around this time frame as well. It's not limited to those eight people that you've probably been reading about.
Because you wouldn't have your whole back line in one hub, together, because a lot of clubs have it. They've split them up, haven't they?
Yeah, and the AFL the AFL gets criticised regularly. We criticise them regularly, don't we? But what they've done when it came to telling the clubs and advising the clubs on the protocols, Bill, was to mix up those groups for this very reason.
Two stars,
reason.
Two maybes, and two rookies.
Two forwards or two wingmen. So that you didn't lose potentially a whole group. Now, that may not be the case with Essendon anyway, how this plays out, but they do appear at the very outset to have gone against what the AFL suggested they do in those group situations.
So people listening to this will be saying, why can't we just test all of the remaining players on the Essendon list? If it takes 48 hours to get those tests back, we've got 48 hours.
Yeah.
If they come back and they're all fine, get rid of McKenna. Well, not get rid of him, but make sure McKenna's out of the situation and play the game against Carlton. Why is that too simplistic?
No, it's not. And that's exactly what the AFL and Essendon have been arguing all day today. And from a very early starting point of the day itself, the tests to which you referred, Jim, as far as I know, they've now been had en masse, player and officials at that footy club. And that was scheduled for today. We're going to get those results, or the club will get those results, if not already now, by first thing tomorrow. And that may be part of the overall considerations around what happens next.
Has Connor broken the rules?
He's broken the protocols, Bill, through visiting a house inspection, is the way I read it. Now, I feel for him a little bit. I mean, he's obviously in a situation where he needs to find new accommodation.
Yeah.
But it is specifically referenced in a 53 or 57 page document given to the players about house inspections. Now, it even says, the way I've been told it anyway, that you can go to a house inspection provided you get a special clearance from your COVID-19 officer in charge of you.
So every club has a COVID officer. And I rang Oscar on the way up just to make sure. And it's a bloke at the club that's been there for a long time.
Bill at the club.
Yeah, and he's been, and I said to Oscar, if you were looking at a house, what would you do? And he'd say, oh, you'd probably just ring him and say, can we do this?
I'm yet to be told officially that he didn't get that special dispensation, but I don't think he did, Bill. And that's one thing. Look, there's a visitation to, I believe, the host family. But in his world, that host family is his mum and dad or his parents in his life. I mean, he's an Irish kid who was looked after by this family. So I feel for him there too. I've not heard one thing that he's done that to me gives anyone cause for anger about the breaches. Yes, he shouldn't have done what he did because he's put the whole competition potentially in jeopardy, but he's a young kid.
It's not a howler. He hasn't gone to a nightclub.
It's not a Lockie Hunter running into four cars and leaving the scene. It's not that.
Hey, should the AFL send every Victorian team to a hub in South Australia, Queensland, or WA, because of the virus numbers here.
To balance it. There's going to be issues.
This is a hotspot, Victoria.
Yeah, and Bill, there's going to be issues from those states you referenced there about allowing Victorians into them.
Special.
Richmond has to fly to the Southeast Queensland hub to play West Coast, not this weekend, the weekend after.
Yep.
I reckon it's a watch this space potentially on what that government does on this because of the numbers that are continually rising here in Victoria.
All right. I feel for Melbourne, by the way.
I do too.
They are
done nothing wrong.
Done zero wrong. And their season's also been thrown into chaos a bit.
As I said at the start, Jim.
Bill. Are we going to take a break because there's lots of footy to discuss with Damo?
Damien Barrett for Coates Hire is in the studio chatting round three.
We're going to get him to hang around for another segment.
You've got some material.
I have, and it affects two people in this room, and it's not me or Rabs, which I like.
Yeah. Right, is it? Okay, we'll hang on to that. But Purple, we'll start with the positives.
Yeah, we will, and I think we need to go to an unusual place when it comes to that word in this club, the Gold Coast Suns. They are the boom story, aren't they, of the footy returning. Big win last week against West Coast, a bigger win this week against Adelaide, and they did it on the back of a couple of themes, one being the young kid in Matty Rell, who's possibly, Bill, picked up six Brownlow votes in those two games he's had since the game was shut down. And Ben King is just looking like the player that he was always meant to be. They're doing it with a style that's compelling to watch.
There's a
genuine spark about it. It seems we've had false dawns with that club for so many times. They've been 2-1 quite a few times at the start of the season. Last year they were 2-1, and the one game they lost, I think, was by a point or a couple of points. So this just seems very, very different.
You know what I like? Stewie Jew. Yeah. Good on you. He deserves the credit he's due.
Thank you, Bill.
He does. He's hung in there. He's hung in there. He's copped it left, right, and centre.
And we'd
love
like
to
him.
Hug him if I could.
He's a beauty.
Lost the last 18 games of last year, the first one of this year, but bounced back really strongly. And they're doing it, Jim, with third quarters, the old fashioned premiership quarter. Five goals against West Coast last week, five goals against Adelaide this week. I like them. I like them a lot.
All right, good. Port Adelaide, you can't help but admire as well.
You can't. And for those who haven't caught up with the ladder, the only undefeated – actually, no, the only team to not lose. I say that because Collingwood is still undefeated, given they've got a draw in amongst their three games. But sitting atop the ladder, there still might be some question marks over the opponents they've beaten. But at the same time, they're 3-0.
Let me tell you, every opponent's hard at the minute.
It does seem to be, doesn't it?
Yep. After last weekend's results.
It does. So – oh, look, they've now got a theme going, haven't they? Their forward line is very good, with Charlie Dixon standing up. And you still have your heart in your mouth when you see him land on the ground and you worry about those ankles he's got problems with. But he's good. Todd Marshall, again, just doing enough in that other key position role. We know what Robbie Gray does up there. And they're young kids. The only setback they've got was Xavier Duesma pinging the hamstring. Yeah. And that seemed a nasty one, didn't it? But
what about the old
as good as he is, he's not going to be someone that's going to mean they can't win a premiership if it all goes well.
Travis Boak's just going
to really good.
Flying, isn't he, Boakie?
We'll move on. We'll give another rap to Carlton too, because we've constantly ridden
what
them.
What happened there, Fat?
Bill.
What the hell's that?
Well, I
you had
turned
a bloody,
it on. And...
Stiffy your cat couldn't scratch because all your home games were handed down to GMHBA. And old Fats going, well, we won't lose down
no,
there.
I didn't
and,
say that.
And then you get the Blues.
I turned
over.
It on at three quarter time.
You said the lights are on. Look how pretty they are.
No, exactly. They didn't turn up the three quarter time. They weren't there. And Carlton were magnificent. They sliced through Geelong, the defence, the middle. They were very, very good. Geez, they played some good footy. So well done to Carlton. They fully deserved. And then the Cats come back and you think, oh, they're not going to pinch it, are they? They're not going to. Even then they stuffed. They had blokes running into each other. They got injuries. They just had everything went wrong. But well done, Carlton.
They had a plan too. And David Teague has spoken about this post-match, about isolating the three tools in Stewart, Taylor
and Casbolt,
and they were able to just keep them away, Jim, because ultimately they went into it with the plan to not allow them to converge on the same
Henry.
Ball.
Yeah.
And they kept it open. Eddie Best played a crucial role, didn't he, in
Eddie.
Allowing that to happen too, just by providing an option. McGovern, I think after the torrid week he'd had with the public commentary around him, did enough. His disposal was good. His efficiency was okay. So I liked it. And I think it's good for a club to be able to bounce back. They'd had a bad start again, which wasn't all that unusual. But I love a team that responds. And even if they'd lost that game, I liked the way they broke away.
Tough
which
to
was
win
different.
Down there.
Tough to win down there.
It is.
And Pittenett was a revelation yet, because the body of work needs to be greater and longer than what it is at the moment. But there's a sign there that makes you think that's going to work. That's going to work.
No, yeah. Well done. Who else? Positive?
Well, just quickly go with Collingwood, because they're just doing everything right. I know they had that draw against Richmond, but that was against last year's Premier, and you take a draw, so probably in that regard. So Stevenson coming back in just provides that dynamic that it didn't have, and I was surprised he was left out of both round one and two. He was an emergency in both games, so he was thereabouts to be picked. And the Bulldogs, another one, Jim, they got their team right, didn't they? The two guys they brought in into the middle in McLean and Liberatore had an immediate impact. The first quarter impact that continued for the game, and they just structured up better. And I liked about what they did against GWS, Jim, was they just absorbed that off the ball and messy aggression and just dealt with the footy, didn't they? They got involved when they had to, because they had to get involved, but they never
controlled that game
instigated.
Almost from the start.
They did.
All right, negatives?
The negatives are obviously the Crows, and you asked the question last week, Bill, and you then got Jim into trouble by opening
it up. Landed me right in it.
Well, I'll ask you again, Jim.
You.
The Crows at rock bottom.
Landed me right in it, Fat
Jim. There's a lot of players that left the Crows over the last...
well, what about
why have they left,
no
Jim?
No worries, look at you. but they are in strife, though. Yesterday was horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was
horrible.
And, but to your point, though, Bill, and I think it was a really good question, were they at the lowest ebb? You probably heard it from someone else on another meeting.
No,
you raised it here last week on this very...
I think you heard it first.
Well, I heard it for you first. It is a good question, given they started in 1991. They've never been lower. Because there's nothing good around the corner.
Not competitive.
It's just not. And you feel for Matty Nicks. You go back to round one, which is a long time ago, back in March. They were beaten by the Swans, but they came home late and nearly stole it. You couldn't have seen then what was going to be dished up in the showdown last week on resumption, and then even worse, what they dished up against the Suns on the weekend.
And I said to Damo on a separate conversation, Fat, I know he's not where he wants to be and where he was, the Texan, but try playing ahead of the ball in that team.
Yeah.
Some of the delivery inside forward 50 is the most despicable I've almost ever seen.
Terrible. Slow.
Horrific.
And slow. And
ball either kicked straight to his opponent or on the ground 20 metres out in front, making it a foot race, which Tex ain't ever winning. No. So, people are quick to jump on him, but I think through the middle, they've got all sorts of problems.
Matty Nicks, he'd be going, what have I got myself into?
Scared to raise his name after what happened last week, Jim, but Mark Ricciuto deciding to respond to Hugh Greenwood on social media.
Whackity whack.
Any idea why he would go down public path again?
No,
I don't.
No idea.
West Coast needs to go into the negatives in a pretty big way. They're publicly bemoaning being
Stop
in the
whinging.
Hub. I've sort of taken the view that they're entitled to have their case, but I don't think Adam Simpson should be the public face of that case. I think it needs to be a Trevor Nisbet who's
behind
a CEO,
the scenes,
or even just make the point and get other people to sort of make your cause. But he's coming. You can't say it any other way. He's coming across as a sook, and I'm sorry. That's exactly the way he presented on a Friday before a game, which he was then unable to win for a second week in a row while they're in that Queensland hub. They lost to Gold Coast last week, Brisbane this week.
It goes through the team, Damo. When the coaches say it goes, they run onto the ground. They look beaten from the bounce.
Yep,
because it's all happened from the coach the night before.
Yep. And he's got a challenge now, because Port Adelaide awaits them this weekend. Then they've got on the according to the fixturing anyway, Richmond the following week.
Up there, yeah.
There's every likelihood, no matter how much they complain, that they're going to have another week at least on the hub and quite possibly two before they even get to go home. And if they don't rectify it, Bill, their season is going to be over even before they get back their home state.
Yeah. I thought he handled the post-match presser well.
Yep.
That was fine, but you're right. The bit earlier was something, probably leave that to Nizzy. But I'm a big Simo fan, as you know.
Yeah.
The other negative coming out of the weekend, North Melbourne, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I say to you at 10:30 that they would lose that game of footy?
You said privately to me at 10:30 on the phone call, and then at 12:07 you raised it publicly, and it played out exactly the way you said that they'd got ahead of themselves.
In the paper, they're not that good a side. Now, they played beautifully against GWS. Just keep ticking the boxes. Do the simple things, Bill.
Yep.
You know, they're not good enough to do anything but nice and simple. And I reckon Reece would have split them right down the middle.
Well, they kicked the first two goals, Benny Brown, and I think they all thought, oh, here we go. Mm. Then they started rising, and they weren't as hard.
Not good enough to do that.
No.
All right, well, now, you've got something next.
Oh, yeah, I've got a documentation.
Oh, right. a documentation.
Damien Barrett is in the studio, but Bill has a couple of people in his crosshairs.
A documentation.
I have. Right. Just tell me who signed that and what's the name at the bottom there.
Mike Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick's our boss, okay?
Oh, yeah, yes, he is. Yes.
He's our boss. Okay.
Right.
I've been made aware of an incident that occurred out of hours on Saturday, June 13, that you may be able to shed some more light on. This is to you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Our promotions team have reported that a number of items went missing over the weekend from boxes that were delivered to our reception area.
Yeah, I think of
upon review of security camera, which I have here.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, Ethan, and play it. You are seen opening a box at reception, Jim.
Yes, and clearly marked your favourites.
Clearly marked with a sign stating they are not to be open.
Fact.
Are we going through it now? These items were boxes.
Jim, you're coming into. Oh, that's me, actually.
That's you, Damien. So you're in it.
No, but I've walked past the boxes.
So, Jim.
Hang on, where's Jim?
Yeah, wait for it. Wait. We're watching the video here. This is in reception that a box are clearly marked.
They're
not open.
Jim's on
screen. Look, Jim. He's on screen. He's on camera. And opens up the box. Jim, you can't do this. This is theft.
Jim, you're stealing something.
Look. This is theft. There it is. Here he's chomping into the box.
Fat.
Yeah, you're well paid, as this letter says.
I walked back into the studio and said on air what I'd just done.
Yeah, he did say that.
I actually owned up to it immediately and said, Onion, you're down a box of favourites.
The letter continues. You're one of the highest paid radio performers in Australia.
So I should be.
And I'm sure you can afford $17 for a couple of boxes of chocolate. So, yes, we're going to defer this to the police.
Fat.
I look forward to receiving your response, Mike Fitzpatrick.
I said to you and Damo and everyone else and our millions of listeners that I had just stolen out of Onion's box the thing of favourites. I declared it at the time.
But you did, Bill.
Well, but you've eaten.
Ate half the box.
When I was given that small chocolate bar, I wasn't aware it was a stolen property.
It's stolen goods, Damien.
And you
ate the said stolen good.
I ate one piece.
Yeah, you had 10.
You had 17.
There was Turkish delights left over.
They're always left over.
But what about that? You're on vision. You're on
that
the
is
camera.
It's scary, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Damo, let me say this to you. And I'm not a racing man. You two know that. Even the Rabbits knows that. But this is a weird-ass season.
Yep. Mm.
We've got a Melbourne Cup field running over 1,500.
Yeah.
We don't know who's going to win.
No, you're right.
There's no bloody clock tower to work back.
The Emirates Stakes.
We've got no idea. These horses aren't prepared for this sort of racing.
And the wins along the way that even like a Sydney Swans have now managed to procure two out of the three that they've played, they're very important, more important than ever.
Right at the minute, who's going to win it? Who are the two teams in the grand final? Give me two teams.
You wouldn't do this even in a normal season after round seven, Bill, which is probably the equivalent.
Because it's up and down.
Look, I still can't see one thing wrong with Collingwood from a top four perspective.
All right, who are they going to play?
Well, Port Adelaide are going as well as anyone.
All right.
So Richmond will be there, of course.
Right. If West Coast somehow beats Port Adelaide this weekend, Bill, they're back on track.
And give me the two worst sides.
Well, one's very, very obvious.
Adelaide, give me the next worst side. Because it's bloody hard.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you would have said Carlton until they finally got a win.
You wouldn't, but you'd say Freo, but they haven't been that bad.
No, they weren't been competitive. They were competitive in rounds one and two and just copped a hot team at the moment, didn't they, in Port Adelaide?
It's just so
and
hard.
Melbourne, we didn't see, no. but they, know, they will need to play better. We have buses?
Yeah, we're going to send one.
To Jim's house for pinch and chocolates.
Yep. In fact, Onion, I could do with another box. Where is he?
That one we had at Westlakes last week is going to be joined by another one this week.
Yeah.
We're
going to
send
end
another
up a
one
depot.
Across the way.
We're going to be a bus depot at Westlakes.
We're going to have at least two, and if they keep dishing up that rubbish, we'll send another one next week as well.
Oh, wow.
Nice to see you, Purple. Thanks for dropping in.
Thanks, boys.
Damo's Recovery Session. When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 15 52.